The second hour, Junior Sisk will talk about his brand new If There's a Will, There's a Way. As you know, if you listen, an artist that comes on picks songs that they want me to feature, kind of packaged around their interview portion. So Junior asked for Long Hard Road, The Sharecropper's Dream, to start off with. That'll get us right into discussion with Junior Sisk. And we'll close out that time with Old Cold Shoulder, both new tunes from If There's a Will, There's a Way. Thank you so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. I would be very, very lonely without each and every one of you. For the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a new song, Long Hard Road, in parentheses, The Sharecropper's Dream, and it's from Junior Sisk's new album, which is If There's a Will, There's a Way, which was released, I have the release date as March 29th of this year. It's on Mountain Fever Records, and I'm always happy to talk to Junior Sisk, who's on the phone today. How are you, Junior?
Hey, glad to be back with you, Steve.
You know, there's voices that I'm always happy to hear, and yours is one of them, not just I have a good time talking, but I love hearing your voice on the records. I love what you do and the recordings, and I've listened and listened and listened and listened. I have some favorites. I like all of them, but I have some that just really seem to hit me. Long Hard Road is a Rodney Crowell tune, and I think you've made some great choices on this album. You've had Dan Tominski, which I played several cuts of this already through the show. You have Dan Tominski join you on a Roger Miller tune, A Man Like Me, and Bluegrass Country, by the way. I love Heather, just nails it. It's a great song. And you also have Carter Stanley. I know the Stanley Brothers are very important to your music, what you want to achieve, and your musical makeup, Junior. So we're just going to talk a little bit about the album. I think it's a great album. I'll ask you about the band members, but how have you been?
Doing good. It's turkey season now. I've been turkey hunting, getting ready to be walleye too, so I'm going to be busy with hunting and fishing and on the road.
Well, that's why I knew. You know, the last time I called you out of the blue, and this was not for the program, it was before Load the Wagon. And I called you because I was driving to the radio station where I used to do a show, a broadcast over the air. Now I do them all out of my home office. But and I was so tickled with it, and I knew I had your number, and I called you. You were turkey hunting.
That was the changeover album. That was actually a solo project.
I remember that. I didn't want to interfere with that. I didn't mean, I just want to say how great it was, and then we talked about it later. But yeah, turkey. I wanted to make sure you were in today. I don't know if you were out chasing turkeys this morning or this afternoon or what, but I know that you were.
Actually, me and Jason Davis, my old bandmate.
Yeah, banjo player, Jason. Yeah, sure.
We both got one this morning, so I'm tickled.
Well, you're ahead of the game. How many are you allowed to get? Is there a limit?
I save all mine. We can kill three in the spring.
Oh, okay.
We got two more to go. Okay. We both got the monkey off our back this morning.
So when will the switchover be? You mentioned when does the turkey hunting season end?
It'll end later May. We still got just months. Almost a month. Yeah, we can only have half a day right now, but things will change here. And as soon as I got home, I got an Instagram message from Rodney Crowell saying, "I just heard your cut of Long Hard Road, and I really like it." So that just tickled me to death.
That's good. It's a great tune. Brings back a lot of memories for me, anyway. Just kind of like this whole. I have a little bit of that in me. I have a little bit of that, those memories in me, and of course Rodney Crowell just writes great music all the time. I'm glad you brought him in on this. So I'm talking a little bit about, let's get the band members. We've talked about some. Jason's no longer with you. I know Jason, great banjo player. I've seen him perform with you, but let's get this band, and we may come back to it later, but let's talk a little bit about the talent that you have on this brand new album, which, if I didn't say it clearly, the name of the album is If There's a Will, There's a Way, just released on Mountain Fever. By the way, I'm so happy. I'm a lawyer. And I always hear this thing, well, you know, talking about how we're going to, if there's a will, there's a way, and they mean the document. That's not what that song is about.
It's
not about a written will. It's a whole different deal. And I like
that's the first time I thought about that.
Listen, as soon as I thought of it, oh, no, here we go. It's going to be about lawyers taking it. But anyway, no, I like this one much better than that interpretation. So tell me a little bit about the band. Of course, you're lead vocals and guitar. But
I have Jonathan Dillon. He's been with me now. This year will be 11 years. It's unreal to have someone with you that long anymore.
It really is.
He's my right-hand man. I couldn't do what I do today without him, and I really do mean that, because not only is he a great musician, he can play any instrument, sing about any part, but he keeps the bus at his house, and he also drives the bus. He does the maintenance and everything, so he's a big part of the Junior Sift Band, that's for sure.
He can drive the bus, so you can find a place for him. besides the fact that he's so talented, as you've described, he does a great job on the bus. If he can park the bus and drive the bus, you probably could find a way to put him in there somewhere.
He's the man, yeah.
All right, and the rest of them.
Have Heather Berry made from over here in Walnut Cove, North Carolina. She's singing harmony vocals and lead vocals. She does the lead on the solo Bluegrass Country that you mentioned there a while ago. It's a great old Dale McCurry tune. She did. I really enjoy her vocals. I think she's one of the best female vocalists out there today, in my opinion.
Clear as a bell.
Yes. Always has been, and I've been a big fan of her for a long time. And her husband, Tony Mabe, is playing the banjo with her. He's another, I guess, Swiss Army knife of bluegrass. He can play anything and sing any part we need him to sing. And it's just a great pleasure to have both of them traveling with us. And Kurt Love on the upright bass. He's a fellow from over here in Oakboro, North Carolina. We tried out about probably 13 bass players one day, and he was a fourth or fifth one, and I thought he'd go in there. I had a pot of chili going. I said, go have you another bowl of chili till we get done. And I knew he was the one right away. And he was actually a banjo player and barred somebody's bass and come and try it out with us. But he's still with us now. And I think Heather and him's been with us since around 2019.
So here's a hint then. If you want to try out for a Junior Sisk Band and he says, go have another bowl of chili, that means you made it.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
All right, so Kurt Love, and then Tim, tell us about Tim Crouch.
Oh, man, a couple of years back I did a Stanley tribute show, and we flew out to Durango, Colorado, and played the Meltdown out there, me and Ricky Skaggs' cousin. Tim was with me. And we roomed together that night, and, man, I just always loved his fiddle playing. He's such a great guy, and our fiddle player, he moved on over the winter. And so we were in the studio thinking of who was going to get on the fiddle, and Aaron Ramsey, who engineered this project, he mentioned him, and I said, man, let's give it a shot. And I think he knocked it out of the park. He's a great musician and a great fellow to go along with it, man. Tickled to death with him, too.
There are, I'm talking to Junior Sisk, if you're just tuning in. He's got a brand new album, If There's a Will, There's a Way, which is on Mountain Fever. Always a good label, and always good music from Junior. And the band, as he just described him, there is we're going to talk a little bit about the songs. We've talked about it. I'm not going to exhaust you as to why they were chosen. I know that. but I know your preferences to that sound. To the Stanley Brothers, to the sound that you're used to, and you even though we've got Roger Miller and Rodney Crowell as songwriters, I know your sound, and I know that's what you're going for. Maybe you can tell the people what really this is all straight bluegrass, in my opinion, and it's all great. 10 songs of great bluegrass, but it's been so long since I think I've had you on. Let's talk a little bit about what your goal is, what your influences are to get this sound that you're looking for.
Well, I was raised on the Stanley Brothers, and then in the early 80s, the Johnson Mountain Boys come on the scene, and they just lit a fire under me, and I've always loved straight-ahead bluegrass music, and still today, even when I get the younger generation coming up and asking me, you know, because I am second-generation bluegrass, they're asking me what's the key to it, and I always tell them is, you can do anybody's song, but you don't want to do it exactly like they done it, you know, like Stanley Brothers, Flatt & Scruggs, or Jim and Jesse, because it's been done. But you can go ahead and cover their tunes, but make it your own style. And that's what we try to do today. Pay tribute to them, but do it your way.
You can't, because, and you do a great job of paying tribute to them, but you can't do what they've done because they've already done it, and you can never get better than the people you've mentioned. You just can't. They did it. They own it, and they set the course. But, learn. So you're talking to young players. Like, maybe they don't even want to play that stuff. Maybe first go around if they're good enough to have an album or travel. But get all that stuff baked inside of you. All the things that Junior just talked about. If you want to be a bluegrass musician and be in a band, get everything that he said baked into your heart. And then if you want to work from there, that's fine. And you can take your own chances on whether someone will like what you're doing. But I think that's what you're saying. You did it growing up. But yeah, young people, get on all that music and devour it. Don't, yeah, tribute, but don't try to cover it exactly, because you can't. You'll never be able to match those guys.
It's been done. That's exactly right. And yeah. I remember back as a teenager and first learning, I used to sit and listen to the Stanley Brothers, and I'd sing the lead, try to sing just like Carter, and then when it comes to the tenor, I'd jump up on the tenor and try to sing just like Ralph, and then I'd try to play just like George Shuffler, you know. But I decided I still love that today, but. And I still play that music today, but everybody knows me now. It's the Junior Sis style. You know, I change it up, and you know, like I said, it's been done full with it. Just pay tribute and homage to the founding fathers, but do it your way.
Because if you try to do it their way, you're going to fail. I mean, you can't do it. And sooner or later, it's good. You know, and I'll tell you this: Sonny Osborne was a good friend, I guess, 20 something years or so. And he, of course, they were. You know, he was Flat Scruggs. Earl Scruggs was everything. But he also knew that they couldn't try to mimic them or try to do their sound. So they started their own thing with their style of harmonies. Fantastic. And the stuff they did and the choices they made, you know, and Sonny said that. I knew we couldn't be Flat and Scruggs because they did it and they're doing it better than anybody else. But he knew every note that everybody ever played on one of those records, but got it inside of him, and then put it back out and interpreted it the way that he and his brother Bobby and the rest of the band did. But that's a good point.
Now they're everybody trying to sound like them.
That's right. You know, it's funny how many tunes, Osborne Brother tunes, show up on new albums, and I'm thinking,
you got that right. Yeah.
Everywhere, and they should. They should. So the title cut, What a Wonderful Life. I'll play that. Listen, the show is 3 hours long. I'll drop that in probably in the first hour. But I love that. I love that attitude. I love the message about it.
That song right there is a perfect example. Matt Lindsay and I forget the other guy's name, but anyway, he sent me a CD probably around 2011. And this is more advice to the younger generation or whoever's listening. When somebody sends you a CD, don't think you're the only one they're sending it to. And I neglected to open it up for about 2 weeks, and I finally opened it up, and this song was on there. And I jumped right on the phone, and I called and said, can I put this on hold? And they said, I'm sorry. It's already been done. And it broke my heart. And I wanted to do that song so bad. The Spinney Brothers actually recorded it back around 2012.
Oh, yeah, Canadian.
Yeah, they sure did. So I've waited this 12 years later before I've done it, but it's always been in the back of my mind, and I'll spread a little advice. Don't think you're the only one they're sending it to these CDs to.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Grab it up and listen right away, because you might miss a treasure there.
Well, you win.
And it's just a happy song that we're needing the way things are going right now.
That's exactly the point I was going to try to make. No matter who you are, you need to hear that song now, and you need to really appreciate what the song is saying. And,
absolutely. You know, appreciate your life right now.
Yeah, man. It just, you know, every single day, every second, that's kind of what I think. We talked about bluegrass country a little bit, and Heather just nails the vocal. I mean, that's a great song, and I think, you know, if you can put bluegrass country or something like that, that's going to catch on. People like to hear about it, and it's so true, I think, to what the music is.
Absolutely.
Here's something that I want to talk to you about. Oh, we talked about the title a little bit. If there's a will, there's a way. I have a note to bring that up again. Aside from my looking at it and reading it as something that might apply to a testamentary document, that's not it at all. Talk a little bit about If There's a Will, There's a Way.
If There's a Will, There's a Way is a song written by Raul Satterwhite, an older gentleman over here in Amherst, Virginia. He's wrote many a song for me. He actually wrote don't worry about the mule, just load the wagon, which was a big hit.
Oh, yeah. By the way, that's only half of the statement. That's only half of the comment.
Yeah.
I know the full part, and you didn't put it in good for you, but I know what comes before that. So,
yeah.
Go ahead. That was a great cut. All right, go ahead.
I always call on him before I go in, and he sends me a demo of all of his stuff that he's wrote down for the first of the year, you know, and gets them to me. But the man can write a song, and a song with meaning and feeling and everything. And this is one that just really, really caught me. If there's a will, there's a way. He also wrote another tune on here, too. There's Nothing Good About Goodbye. That's another tune on the new project.
So yeah, back to
I
back.
I pulled from Rawl's material and got two on here him.
Yeah. Nothing Good About Goodbye. It's a neat story. Of course, I mean, I don't need to break down all the words, but I mean, you perform it so well, but it's exactly what it seems to be. You know, there's no way to say goodbye whether it's a note attached somewhere in a kitchen or whatever that, you know, goodbyes from those type of things. They're just something you just got to deal with and get over.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't come out good. They just don't come out good.
No.
The tune that you shared with, that you brought in Ricky Skaggs, Memories of Mother, that's Carter Stanley. That's something I know that's just right down your wheelhouse.
Been singing that thing since I was a teenager. Me and my cousin Tim Massey, who was with me with Rambler's Choice through the years, we learned the whole second generation album, which was Keith Whitley and Ricky Skaggs.
Yeah, man.
I knowed of it from the Stanley Brothers, but we learned every song on the second generation, and this happened to be on there. So I've been singing this. Not for a long, long time. I said since I was a teenager, but it's always been one of my favorites. And first thing I thought of, Skaggs, I call him every, our anniversary and my wife, his anniversary and our anniversary is the same.
So
I call him about every year and wish him a happy anniversary. And I said, would you sing one with me sometimes? And he said, I'd love to. And I called him about this one. And he put his part on there and I got it back. And I called him. I said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "I think Ralph Stanley would be proud."
That's
the best compliment I could have got.
Absolutely. And you know, Ricky knew it. You know, Ricky knew the tune because he's steeped. He's as steeped as anybody can be in the Stanley Brothers and that whole sound. And he went country and he came back, and that's fine. I mean, he should do what he wants to do. But you know, anything from Carter Stanley and Stanley Brothers, he would nail it. It's a great song. You know what? As I was looking at, if there's a will, there's a way, and what that means. I skipped back up to the third cut, These Are They. And that to me is you explain a little bit, but I've got a lot of notes about Revelation and the Isle of Patmos and what that would be St. John and Revelation. But tell us a little bit about that one and why you chose it.
Well, it's a great message right out of the Bible. And the McPeak brothers actually recorded this back years ago, a group from over here in Whistle, Virginia, not too far from where I come from. And I was listening down through songs. I know we have, I think it's three sacred numbers on this project here.
Yeah,
but
you do.
You can't have enough. I haven't done a gospel CD with my current band right now, but we're working on doing that.
You should. Yeah, man, that'd be great. I'd love to hear that one.
Because we got a quartet now with Tony and Heather and Jonathan. And I'm still digging. My dad probably has 1,000. That's all he writes anymore. He's 86 now. He writes at least 2 or 3 a week. So I've got many songs to go through, but every song that he writes at the top of the page, playing the key of D and sing like Carter Stanley. I would if I could, Dad, but I can't do them all like that.
You know, it's horrible to be on a radio show and have someone say, "Hey, yeah, do this," because that's fine. But it's not to be a slight of this new album. If there's a will, there's a way. This is great. Take your time on it. But I know you want to do a gospel thing, but as soon as I said that, I thought that makes it sound like, what are you going to do next? I don't mean that at all. This is a great album, and I enjoyed every song of it. I've listened and listened and listened and listened. I have little scribbles by things that, you know, just kind of pique my interest. And you've hit them all so far. And that's just it, man. If you're listening to Junior Sisk, who I'm talking to now, you're going to be hearing great, right down the middle of the gut, in the middle of the heart, bluegrass. There's just no other way to describe it.
Even some old classic country, like A Man Like Me from Roger Miller and Wild and Wicked World from Ray Price. You know, we're just trying to pay tribute to that because old country is pretty much bluegrass today, in my opinion. You know, and it works very well, just like on our CD back. I think it was last CD or whatever, Patches on My Heart. That was an old Sonny Burns country and western tune. And when I heard that thing, Tony turned me on to it. I said, well, man, that's bluegrass. That's bluegrass today. Let's do it. And that's still one of my favorite songs that we do.
Well, you remember, I always say this, you have learned. I don't know that you lived through it. You may have. Bluegrass was just part of country. That was always included in country music on the shelves and in the where you go buy records. And someone had the great idea of making little placards to divide things, and all of a sudden you've got bluegrass separated from country, and then it becomes string music or whatever. But yeah, that time frame you're talking about, they were one fit into the other very well, and they played together on stages often and opened for each other, and all of a sudden there's been divisions and people put labels on things. It's a marketing issue, I guess. But yeah, you're right. Mine knows old classic country tunes, and they'll fit right over into what you're doing, as you've demonstrated so many times before.
Absolutely. I'm always listening to the old country stuff because, you know, that stuff will work. And I'll go ahead and put a little plug in for my band now. They have their own little CD coming out now.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, tell me that.
Yeah, they're called Red Camel Collective, and they have a Charlie Pride song, Roll On Mississippi. That's another perfect example. It's a country tune, and it's doing really well now on bluegrass, and they're going to release another single here pretty quick, and then here in the next few months they'll put out the whole project.
Well, I will.
I'm tickled with that too, and that's nothing but my rest of my band without me. And I feature them now on all of our shows. I let them do a couple off of their CD coming up. And, you know, it helps me out. It gives me a little break. I get to take a break for two songs and rest for a minute before I go back at it. But not only that, but I'm proud of them. So I love what they're doing.
I'll make sure that I get that and feature it as soon as it's available to me. I'll make sure we feature it on Unreal Bluegrass. Junior, I was thinking, one of the times we talked, and I've told you about the time when I called you. You were out hunting, which I felt bad about. But I just needed to talk to you about how great that album was at the time. One time was you had just undergone surgery, and I know it wasn't that far post surgery. But is it okay? Am I assuming you're fine, as good as you can get, and right now you feel good? You had a neck issue or a spine issue?
Yeah, they fixed, put a cage and everything in my neck, but now. This past September, I was supposed to have surgery on my lower back. It's pretty rough shape, so that's why I take a little break in the middle and let my band do a few things. And hopefully here, when I get a chance, but it's, you know, traveling on the road, and between that and then deer season from October to January, it don't leave me much time to get healed. So I'm going to get it done here.
Okay. Well, I just remember that event, and I didn't want to bring up any. I assumed you were good enough to do this and get out a little bit, and if you're hunting, so I didn't want to bring up any bad
memories. Yeah.
But I wanted to let you know that I was still concerned, because I know it was like right after, man. It was like a week or two after it, and we talked, and of course you had relief then, but you never know how it's going to play out.
They told me, the doctor told me, he said, you know, take care of yourself for 3 months and don't do anything. Well, 3 weeks later, I was on a plane to Lake Havasu, Arizona.
Yeah, that's a win. Yeah.
I played a show with a neck brace on, but they treated me like a king in the airport. They shuttled me around everywhere I wanted to go and all.
There you go. There
but
you go.
I told them, I said, if you want to get paid, I gotta go play. So, yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. Listen, I really do. I have enjoyed talking to you and seeing you and the new music, but I love just hearing your voice again, and I love you laughing and feeling better. I know there is a Junior Sisk website where they can find this new album, If There's a Will, There's a Way, and also they can find your touring schedule.
Absolutely, yeah. Go to juniorsisk.com and check out everything you need to find out where we're going to be playing, hopefully in your area or Mountain Fever Records, too.
Yeah, you can find, I hope so. By the way, you have a heck of a website. It really lays out nicely. I always check those in case I've forgotten something. But people listening should go there and find out. You can find out a lot about Junior and the band and what they're doing. And it really unrolls nicely. So kudos to whoever set up your website. It's just kind of...
Well, I appreciate that. Kendra McKinnon, she's working for me now. She does all my PR work and stuff. So
good.
It's great to have somebody like that. It frees me up a little bit. You know, yeah. I still do my own booking. So if anybody wants to book me, call me.
Okay.
And they can get on the website and find out all about that too and get in touch with me.
Listen, Junior, if you're just tuning in, I'm just set here to let Junior Sisko on about his hunting and fishing and whatever else is going on. But, but we did this to talk about the new album, If There's a Will, There's a Way. It's been released now. I have March 29th this year, so
That's
it's
right.
available everywhere. It's on Mountain Fever, we've talked about. But I wanted you to introduce one more song. It'd be anything that you want. If we introduce another song, I'll play that, and I'll let you go as that's playing, and then we'll just go on from there. So do you want to pick one to introduce?
Yeah, this is a tune here that I actually did the solo all the way through on it, but a great tune written by T.W. Massey, who is Raul Satterwhite's good friend. And they write a lot of songs together, but this is T.W.'s, and it's one called Old Cold Shoulder, and it moves right along, and I hope people will enjoy this as well.
They will. And by the way, this album is another one of those things that have gone wrong. The singer, what you're singing about is, I've seen the cold shoulder before, but not like this.
That's right.
something's different.
But it's never felt this cold. That's right.
Exactly. I love that. And that's a great... All right, well, okay, Junior, listen, I'll let you go back to what you're doing. Thanks so much for your time. I look forward to seeing you as the festival season and everything pops up, and I'll look on your website to make sure you're close enough to me. With that being said, Junior, thanks. And then we will play, I'll let you go, and we'll play Old Cold Shoulder, which happens to be the last and tenth cut. What you're singing about is, I've seen the cold shoulder before, but not like this. Thank you so much for listening to Unreal Bluegrass. Junior says, thank you so much, my friend. I really enjoy discussing what you're doing and the music that you're putting out, which is always just solid, solid, solid bluegrass.